You are listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
Welcome to One Conversations, a Better Together podcast, where we look at some of the articles that you'll see in the One magazine, and we get to talk to the authors and get a little more detail. Today we have with us Chaplain Captain David Dodson. So he wrote an article that was featured in the October-November 2020 edition. We encourage you to take the hard copy of that, read it, and if you don't get it through the mail, you can go online to onemag.org and you can read it and you can share that with friends and family. But Chaplain Dodson did his MDiv over at Mid-American Seminary in Memphis, Tennessee, and he's currently completing a DMin at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. So, Captain Dodson, thank you for stopping in to be with us today, my friend.
Yes, sir. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Well, what led you to write this article in One Magazine, Interruptions as Opportunities?
So I greatly struggle, as most people do, with interruptions. And as a father of three, a 15-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 6-year-old, I find myself frequently being interrupted. One reason I struggle so much with interruptions is because I have a great struggle with concentrating. So when I get concentrated on something and somebody interrupts me, it tends to annoy me. And so in my house, as I write about there in the article, we have a rule in my house that I call the interrupt dad rule, where if you are needing me for anything, you just stay right where you are and just yell at the top of your lungs for me. And if I don't come, you just do that over and over and over again until I come. And recently something happened this year that caused me to begin to see even those interruptions in my own house, mm-hmm. along with other interruptions, as more than interruptions, as possibilities for opportunities to minister, to serve, for God to work.
So even as a parent, there's a rule. Now, I'm trying to work on my DMin paper or any other number of things that one works on. And I'm in the zone, I'm concentrating, I'm going at it, but the kids know we've got a rule, interrupt dad. And that's really like something's wrong, something's going awry. Boom, interrupt dad, and you will break out of it and you will stop. And what you're saying is you had a major interruption in you all's family life, and maybe we all need to think about that. God can interrupt us at any time. So what is this big interruption that came along and really God used in a wonderful way, didn't he?
Yes, sir. He sure did. So I serve in the 82nd Airborne, the 1st Brigade of the 82nd Airborne. I'm the chaplain for the 2nd Battalion of the 501st Parachute Infantry Regiment, one of the three infantry battalions in the brigade. And we, for this last year, have been on what's called the International Response Force. And that means basically if the president needs to call 911 at a level bigger or higher than Special Forces or the Rangers, that comes to the 82nd Airborne Division. And since we are on that duty, that came to us. And on December the 31st of 2019, while we were on Christmas block leave, everybody in our battalion and our brigade were recalled to Fort Bragg to prepare to deploy. And sure enough, on January 4th, just 4 or 5 days later, we were in planes and we were headed to the CENTCOM AOR. We were headed to the Middle East. A lot of people, I think, have forgotten with COVID going on, but if you can kind of remember back, there were a lot of protests going on inside Baghdad in the green zone outside of our embassy. This was really led and backed by Iraq or by Iran. And so we were deployed to go over and be prepared to respond against threats. And then the night before that we actually left Fort Bragg was the night that we assassinated General Soleimani, the leader of the Quds Force, the special forces in Iran, and one of their most powerful leaders. And so we left thinking that we were going, in essence, to a World War III type of situation.
About there for Let's start here for just a minute, and then we'll come back to it. So one of the things we want folks to remember, we're approaching the time for the North American Ministries offering, and you are a chaplain with Free Will Baptist North American Ministries. So we want people to think about giving, but we also want people to think about praying. And I like the way you said this. If we were to go back pre-COVID and think about where our minds were, it was about the green zone in Iraq. It was about, you know, what had happened with the dealing with this Iranian leader. And so when we hear things in the news, and if this were to happen today, we wouldn't hear it as much because the election and other things are kind of pushing that out. But that impacts people like Chaplain Dodson here and other armed service personnel who are going right in the middle of that. And it was, Chaplain, it was a dangerous situation, wasn't it?
It was extremely dangerous. Like I said, we boarded those planes thinking that we were going to war.
Yes.
And I still get a little emotional about it today. Yes. Because of the gravity of the situation and what it meant for my men, mm-hmm. but what it meant for my family as well. Most deployments, you know, you're going on it a year or more out. We knew 4 days. We had not planned for this. We had not prepared for this. We had not, you know, talked about when daddy leaves, this is what's going to happen. This is what you're going to do. From the moment we got the call, we were constantly in a state of preparing to get out the door. And there are several times within that 4 or 5 day period before we left where we thought we were leaving, and I would come home and I would leave, and I would kiss Kendra and the kids, and I would say, you know, this is the last time I want to see you. And then 8-10 hours later, I would come back home.
Do it again.
Yes, sir. And so the last time I actually did leave before we left the country, the kids didn't even stop playing. they just kept on with what they were doing. And they were like, okay, Dad, whatever. We'll see you later. And so we've had other interruptions in our family life, but this, without a doubt, was the most sudden and the most drastic for us, and it was hard and it hurt.
Yeah, but you did it. And so you've got a calling as a minister of the gospel, and really an oath that you've taken to serve our country. And so all you all got on those planes, went into that particular situation. Everybody had to be missing family and concerned about what was about to happen. And then God really moved, didn't he?
He did, sir. I found out to be true what other chaplains had told me, that being deployed is like the Super Bowl for chaplains. Uh-huh. because most people are now interested in spiritual things.
Yeah.
And people you couldn't get to even think about coming to a Bible study or a worship service before are there week in and week out and asking for a Bible and coming up and wanting you to pray for them and all these other things. And so in the midst of struggling personally with missing my wife, with missing my family, with what is going to happen here, I think it was our third night we were there when Iran then shot a missile into Iraq at one of our bases. Thankfully, we had gotten the hundreds of soldiers that were in that location out before that missile landed. But we thought when we went there, this is it. And then after that missile attack, we thought this is really it. And all during that time of those first 2 weeks or so, I was not barely able to contact Kendra. She didn't really know what was going on. I didn't know how bad she was hurting. She didn't know how bad, you know, I was struggling. Yeah. And here I am, as the chaplain, trying to serve and minister to the needs of the 750, 800 guys that are in my battalion that I'm responsible for.
So you've got your own stuff kind of going on. Think about your wife, think about your children. And people probably remember back the missiles, seeing about that in the news. You guys are trying to endure that. But like you say, it was the Super Bowl. I'm sure every bit of that, okay, Jesus matters now. I think I'll go and read my Bible a little bit and talk. And so God continued to work. God continued to move. And it ended up working out for those service personnel, didn't it?
Yes, sir. And so we had many before we went to Iraq that, you know, came up to me and said, "Hey, Chaplain, I'm a Christian too." And many of them, I thought in my mind, really? I could not tell. That is news to me.
Thanks for the information.
the Army, and just to buy, I know the Army is such a difficult environment to live out your faith, especially even more so in the infantry world. But they came up and we were able to week in and week out go through Bible studies where we focused on what a disciple is, what a disciple does, and really got into the meat of the word, especially in the book of Matthew, and just following along, you know, what Jesus did with his disciples. And the guys, I would go in their tents and I would see them reading their Bible. Oh. And they would come up to me and they would ask me questions. Say, "Hey, I've been reading this chap. Like, what do you think about this? What do you think about that?" And it was so awesome just to get to see the level of interest that was there, to get to share the gospel with many who may have kind of listened before and not listened at all, that were very intentional about hanging on every word, to get to see. And I think I wrote about there in the article about one particular young man that came to know Christ as his Lord and Savior, that had been greatly struggling in the weeks leading up to the deployment.
Wow. So the willingness to do that, and it's kind of interesting. You're focusing on discipleship, which is the D-men focus, really. So all these things are kind of working together. And then you get the opportunity to be there, to be discipling folks, and even some folks you didn't really know were Christians. And so had some work to do. It was a pretty great thing. So I'm sure people are listening and I'm wondering, you know, what is the takeaway from this? And so the first we've already really pointed out, pray for our chaplains, pray for our service personnel. You know, many of us were safe, able to drink our coffee and, you know, eat whatever we eat for breakfast. Might see this on the news, but this is where families are at. And you mentioned your wife, Kendra, you know, and the others, they've got moms, they've got dads, they've got spouses. So praying for them. What are some other takeaways that come to your mind that people can learn from your experience here?
Yes, sir. So when I wrote that article, God had really opened my eyes to Exodus 3, which is a very famous passage with Moses and the burning bush. But to begin to see that, in my opinion, Moses really didn't want to answer that call. He argued with God because he had become very comfortable in the wilderness in the 40 years and been married, had children. He enjoyed his job. He enjoyed where he was. And when God came to him and said, "No, I'm going to interrupt your life," he's like, "I'm not so sure about that, God. I got pretty good right now." And I found us in America, we have it pretty good.
Yeah.
And in the church, we crave comfort. And when God comes to us and says, "I want to take you to a place of being uncomfortable," we do not like that. And we fight against that. And we buck against that. And we try everything we can to get out of it. But when we do that, number one, we miss the blessing. The greatest growth in my life has come through the times of my greatest difficulties. Unfortunately, a lot of times I have not chosen to put myself in difficult situations, but God has taken me there one way or another. And he's taught me that I need to be willing to put myself in those situations for him and to become uncomfortable. And so the growth, but then also the kingdom possibilities. We are so comfortable week in and week out in our churches and just being there. And that's great. And it's awesome to be there and to come together and to rally together and to worship together. But we don't go forward intentionally throughout the week with that disciple that, because it is uncomfortable. It is uncomfortable to go against the trend of the workplace. It is uncomfortable to be willing to say, God, I will go wherever you want me to go and do whatever you want me to do and say whatever you want me to say. And it's just so much easier to be comfort and just to get in that little spot and to just hang out there and to stay there. But when I read the Bible, when I read the Gospels, nowhere do I find that that is our goal and objective as a follower of Jesus Christ, to get in a nice, comfortable little spot and just hang out there. In fact, Jesus is constantly pushing his disciples into areas of being more and more uncomfortable, where they experience more and more growth, but where they also are able to minister more and more and serve more and more and make disciples more greatly. Those 4 to 5 months I spent in Central Asia, in the Middle East, were extremely difficult, extremely uncomfortable. Every day was uncomfortable as I lived in this big, large tent with 60 other guys that smelled bad, and I never had any privacy, and the only bathroom we had was a porta potty the whole time, and all those things. They were hard and difficult, and there were days where I was a bad chaplain, and I did not handle that well.
Yeah.
But when I look back, so worth it.
Yeah.
And not only for the ministry I was able to do, but also for my personal growth, but also for the growth of my family. Mm-hmm. My wife is so much more resilient and stronger now, spiritually, mentally.
Yeah.
My children, we have put them through so much these last few years. We have forced them to leave their comfort zone that we had, but they have been through so much, and they are stronger mm-hmm. for it. And God spoke to them, and that was difficult. The first month I was back, my little six-year-old Daisy May, my little princess, she wouldn't give me a kiss. And that was hard.
Yeah.
And that was very difficult. But of course she got past that and she moved on. But the growth God brought about was so worth it. And so I still struggle with interruptions today. And mm-hmm. I got to remind myself, since I wrote the article, since I preached the sermon, all right, David, God's wanting to do something here. When my kids yell and scream at me and I'm doing something in the other room, I start to get annoyed. I got to stop and remember, David, this is an opportunity to serve.
Yeah.
This is an opportunity to build connections. This is an opportunity to create memories my kids will have for the rest of their lives. Take it. Mm. Be uncomfortable. Stop what you're doing and do what God has given you the opportunity to do.
Oh, that's wonderful. And so really for you, it goes all the way back, I suppose, to when you were ministering there in Kinston at Bethel Church and having a, I would suspect, it was somewhat comfortable and kind of uprooted things to go into the military chaplaincy, answered the call. And then you're into it and you think you've got a certain routine and all of a sudden this international crisis erupts and then everything changes, and but you're able to look back and you can see how each of those interruptions is, oh, how the Lord has used them. And I hope our listeners will hear it wasn't just good for the service personnel that you ministered to. It was good for you. It was good for your wife and even good for your children. And somehow, some way, it's the way growth happens is, You got to stretch. It sounds like you're doing things that are harder and you're answering the call, and woo, God is using you there.
Yes, sir. Good luck, my friend. For sure. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, that's good. Let's just to kind of go back around to our listeners. You're going to work, you're going to school. We just ask you to always give God the permission to interrupt you, you know, and we think we've got our to-do list, or I know I do, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. When somebody's got a need or some situation arises, it could be just like the situation with David here, where God's saying, no, I want you to help this person out, or I want you to share Jesus with this person today. I encourage all our listeners to be ready for those interruptions. Hey, let's pray for you before we leave, okay, my friend?
Yes, sir. Sounds great.
Father, I thank you for Chaplain David Dodson. I thank you, Lord, for his family. I thank you for his wife, Kendra, and I thank you for how you've called them into this ministry. Lord, I know right now you're calling other people that are listening to this, maybe into the chaplaincy, maybe to be a a home missionary, international missionary, or a minister, or calling them just to step it up, to be more involved at their workplace, at their church, at their school, ministering, using their spiritual gifts for you. Lord, I ask that we'll all answer that call, we'll be willing to be interrupted. And I do ask a special prayer for David and Kendra and their families. And we also pray for our military personnel and the important work they do. Watch over them and protect them and just use them. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I know you're a busy man. There's probably some running or some push-ups you're supposed to be doing, Chaplain. So we will let you go. But before we do, thank you for joining us today. And thank you, listeners, for joining us. And we encourage you to subscribe to One Magazine. Go to the Facebook site, like it, share it. Please give us a review if you can give us a good review. And we say that jokingly, but hey, anything you do to get the message out about like what Chaplain Dodson's doing, those articles in One, these podcasts, it really does help to put this material in other people's hands. So thank you for joining us today. And thank you, Chaplain Dodson, for your time. And may God be with you and bless you and your family, my friend.
Appreciate it, sir. Thank you very much.